This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A deadly incident related to the coronavirus at a store in Flint, Michigan. Three people now facing first-degree murder charges for the killing of a store security guard. The suspects were all charged yesterday, but police had, at last check, still been looking for two of them. Prosecutors in Genesee County say the suspects reportedly felt disrespected because the security guard, a father of eight, was asking them to wear a face mask before they could enter the store. Miami Beach closing one of its parks after authorities gave verbal warnings to thousands of visitors over the weekend who failed to social distance. Park rangers at South Point Beach gave almost 7,500 warnings to people for not wearing face masks. Because of that high number, the city's decided to just close the park indefinitely. This is USA Radio News.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you, and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call, and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796.
A big U.S. state getting ready to announce changes to its current stay-at-home orders because of the pandemic.
Today, we are announcing our efforts to update our stay-at-home guidelines and begin the process of moving into phase two.
That's California Governor Gavin Newsom speaking yesterday, saying new guidelines will be released in detail on Thursday. And he said if they're met, businesses can start to reopen in at least certain regions of that state. Americans certainly love their bacon and plenty of other pork products, so listen up. Tyson Foods says its pork production is down by half because of the pandemic, and despite the president's order to keep meat processing plants open, sick workers there have forced the company to either shut down or at least slow production at half of its plants nationwide. Officials say it could cause shortages of meat products in grocery stores and also rising prices for what is produced. This is USA Radio News.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Faced with over 20,000 coronavirus deaths and counting, the nation's nursing homes are pushing back against a potential flood of lawsuits with a sweeping lobbying effort to get states to grant them emergency protection from claims of inadequate care. At least 15 states have enacted laws or governor's orders that explicitly provide nursing homes protection from lawsuits arising from the crisis. And in the case of the state of New York, a lobbying group wrote a measure that makes it the only state with specific protection from both civil and criminal prosecution. New York's immunity law, signed by Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo, was drafted by the Greater New York Hospital Association, which is an influential lobbying group for both hospitals and nursing homes that donated more than $1 million to the state Democratic Party in 2018 and pumped more than $7 million into lobbying over the past 3 years. The National Rifle Association has now laid off hundreds of employees, canceled its national convention, and scuttled fundraising, membership, and shooting events that normally would be key to rallying their base in an election year. The coronavirus pandemic has upended the gun rights organization in the middle of a presidential election, and with gun owners riled up over what they see as an effort by authorities to trample their Second Amendment rights. The NRA, which boasts about 5 million members in recent weeks, continued to lay off and furlough many employees and cut salaries by 20% across the board. For USA Radio News, I'm John Hunt.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. Ouch! Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. Here's what our customers had to say.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free and they took care of all the paperwork.
If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, a CGM can help you. It's accurate, easy to use, and if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping of your new CGM, and we can bill Medicare for you.
Honestly, I had my doubts, but that new CGM is painless.
Call now. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. That's 800-471-7065.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Well, hello, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day as we continue under quarantine, fighting the good battle. But, hey, look, that's what we do. And because we are Americans, we are not Americans, right? So we'll get through this as we realize that, we're doing this together. Hey, with us right now is the political science professor at Kentucky State University, the one and only Dr. Wilfred Riley, the author of Taboo. Dr. Riley, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
Hey, hanging in there, but I'm like everybody else. I'm ready to, be free and roaming and, getting this COVID-19 thing behind us as quickly as possible. But it reminds us every day that, it's going to leave on its time.
Yeah, well, I think that the question in terms of getting free is how we respond to it. What we decide to make the time frame into. So, right now you're seeing kind of that decision being made at the political science level around the country. Mm. As governors confront that question of, are we going to open up the state? Are we going to go back to business as usual and run a certain level of risk, but one that's a lot lower than we were told it was going to be? Or are we going to continue with these lockdowns, continue sheltering in place?
Right.
And you see that really breaking down along regional lines. You see that really breaking down along political lines, where most of the western states, most of the red states are kind of saying, well, we're going to open up and trust people to follow the rules. On the other hand, you've got, for example, my old home state of Illinois, which I think just extended lockdown for another 6 weeks.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's a decision individual states are going to have to make. My own preference is open up, take the risk. We now know that's going to be a lot less severe than we were initially told. And life involves a certain element of risk.
Well, and speaking of Illinois, you got a mayor there who is pretty aggressive. And how she's speaking to the people is if they're so juvenile. This is bringing out some personality traits of some of these leaders that I think it's gonna end up costing them, politically, because the people are taking notes, just as you said. They're at that point where they look at, we've given, 4 to 6 weeks on this. The numbers, and of course, the veracity of the numbers remains questionable, because you still hear all these differing stories about how they're counting, COVID patients and COVID deaths. And then also you look at coincidental with what happened with the flu trajectory. All of a sudden the flu has gone absolutely silent. and you know, everything now is classified as coronavirus. Well, that seems a bit suspicious, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, I think there are a couple of different levels to the analysis here. I mean, so first of all, you're talking about Chicago's Mayor Lori Lightfoot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, she gave a press conference during the past couple of days where she announced that if you do what you might think of as typical summer things, if you hold an outdoor barbecue, a house party, and cook out for the relatives, you will be arrested. She said we've gone past the point of issuing warnings. The mayor is apparently driving around the city in an official unmarked Chicago vehicle looking for events and calling in the police. That's not an exaggeration from friends of mine in law enforcement in Chicago. So, I mean, I do think that people are going to start asking themselves. Another example might be, Gretchen Whitmer up there in Michigan?
Yes.
Who banned the sale of seeds and gardening tools in Walmart and the larger hardware stores because those are not essential items. You can buy food, but if you want to repair your deck at the same time, you can't do that. You have to wait till the disease crisis is over. I do think people are going to begin asking themselves, look, why can't I wear a mask and grill outside? Mm. This is really a decision that the mayor needs to be making for me.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, that's one level of the analysis. And one thing I do want to say here is that, again, this becomes a policy question. And the question is, what's the goal here? So one point I want to make, and I just had this conversation as part of a pretty serious discussion with a couple of doctor buddies. The initial goal of, quote-unquote, flattening the curve was simply to keep hospitals from being overwhelmed. It's important to recognize that if you read the papers on this, Ferguson 2020 and so on, the same number of people die in the curve flattening scenario unless we develop a vaccine. It just takes longer.
Right.
The whole goal of that was to take pressure off kind of our healthcare heroes, the people who really are engaging this on the front line. But what we've seen is that because the mortality rate of COVID-19, while it's higher than flu, is maybe a fifth of what we were originally told, we're not seeing, and because people aren't frankly obeying the rules, we're not seeing hospitals packed with people. In fact, we're seeing a lot of hospitals closing in areas like Tulsa and rural areas of the country.
Right.
So the question becomes, if there's no pressure on the hospitals, and if we don't have a vaccine on the horizon, is there any logical reason to keep people indoors and essentially just spread out the cases over a longer period of time while ruining the economy?
Right,
and
exactly.
To me, it's hard to see the logic of that. Your other point was something a little different, which was, in addition to, you know, some of the questions here about how to manage the numbers, are the numbers real? That's one I'm not really qualified to speak on, but I will say that the COVID-19 death total that we're seeing is almost certainly not the number of people that have died from COVID-19. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is when you see a normal death toll for something like auto wreck, you're seeing the number of people that were hit by cars and killed. With COVID-19, you're seeing two things. So one, you're seeing a very substantial overcount, which is to say that the people that are listed as having died with COVID-19, as I understand the government's counting, and this is from Dr. Birx,
yes,
are the body of people that died while they had active COVID-19 in their bodies. So not necessarily every one of those people was killed by COVID-19 alone. I don't know how it would be counted if you had a heart attack while COVID positive, but I have my suspicion.
Well, she said you could assume, Dr. Riley. That's the thing that raised the flag for me, is Dr. Birx herself said you could assume it's COVID-19. So check the box.
That actually is what she said at the press conference. This was covered by the Post and the Times. Yeah, anyone that has COVID-19 and dies, we're counting that as COVID-19 mortality. The flip side of that, I will say, and I think this is something that we say less often on the right, is that there's also undercounting that makes the numbers fairly unreliable. And that in some cities, not most, but in New York City, for example, you've seen more than 6,000 excess deaths during the period when COVID-19 was sweeping through the city.
Mm-hmm.
And not all of those were counted as COVID-19 deaths. Most of them almost certainly were, if we're being honest about this. Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, you're seeing what could be almost a doubling of the COVID-19 deaths just by counting everyone who simply had the disease. On the other hand, you're not seeing the counting of these people that die at home from perhaps a combination of flu and COVID. So what statistics like this actually mean is very, very questionable. I mean, you could probably, if you're arguing from a libertarian right perspective, cut that number down by half. On the other hand, you could extend that number substantially by simply adding the excess deaths to people at home that weren't formally counted. So I don't know if just monitoring the death toll day by day, which I see a lot of people doing, really makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the end, we'll probably say something like 100,000 people died with COVID-19. I mean, there will be, we'll know a tragic toll, but we won't know an exact, one-for-one number.
Right. Well, right now in the process, we seem to be incentivizing anything that relates to COVID, whether it's, repayment by Medicare, other things, the buzz and the political influence as well. I mean, Governor Cuomo has been jumping up and down, and I believe he's helped contribute to some of this exaggeration and hyperbole as well. We've got more from Dr. Wilfred Riley after this. Stay with us.
House flies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Attention! This is a public notice from the Social Security Disability Helpline. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. If you suffer from physical or mental disability, whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, we can help. We'll evaluate your situation and deal with Social Security on your behalf. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. Remember, we only get paid if you win your case. There are many reasons and conditions that may make you eligible for disability benefits. Many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call now to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation.
800-368-0123. 800-368-0123. That's 800-368-0123.
Bill Martinez, we have a country to save.
This is your time, your time.
fresh and independent we are, and great to have you along with us. It's 19 minutes after the top of the hour, and our conversation with Dr. Wilford Riley, the author of Taboo, the political science professor at Kentucky State University, continues. You know, Wilford, you'd said something earlier, which I hope that our audience caught here, and maybe we need to unpack this a little bit more, and that is, what is the objective in the game here that we find ourselves thrust into? Because I think that we lose sight of some of, you know, what we're trying to accomplish here between, you know, the data, the science. I mean, it's good to have all this information, but at the end of the day, where is this leading us? What is it that we need to do and focus on as we get through this process?
That's a great question. I think everyone in a leadership role, I mean, including the local extent, me, yourself, but I mean, certainly our governors, that's what everyone's kind of working to answer. The initial answer to that question was really simple, because it's staying alive. If you look at the initial projections from the WHO, from Neil Ferguson, who I've mentioned before as the man who kind of intentionally or not shut down the world. I mean, you're talking about death rates for COVID-19 that were projected to be between 1% and 5%. You're talking with all the secondary infections like food riots and so on that would have occurred had you had a 5% death rate, of course. You're talking about infection rates that were projected as being up to 80% with mitigation in the Ferguson paper. You're talking about projected death tolls like 2.2 million. And as a result of that, we essentially shut down the country. The idea was we'll keep major industries going. We'll try for a couple of months really intensely to see if we can work out some of the hydroxychloroquine, for example. We're going to shelter in place for a bit. What we now know is that COVID-19, it's a dangerous disease. It is a killer. But if you look at the serological testing from Miami or from Bonn over in Germany, we're seeing actual infection fatality rates that look like 0.2%, 0.3%, that are about two or three times flu. And we're seeing these very large states that never adopted full-on shelter-in-place orders, like Utah, Oklahoma, overseas, our ally Sweden. Mm-hmm. I mean, these places are hardly, Japan, four very significant regions, these places are hardly swamped with corpses. So the question now becomes, if we don't have a vaccine, and if the overwhelming of the healthcare system that we were told about is not going to happen because the disease is a fifth as potent as we were told, and we can simply shelter seniors, what's the goal of what we're doing? And I think that's when economic questions begin to come back to kind of the foreground. So I read recently, I subscribed to Business Week, and they've been really keeping good tabs on the unemployment numbers. We are up to 30 million jobless claims so far.
Yes.
If you want to talk about, you know, spikes in the graphs and projections in the model and all these figures we hear about for COVID, that's a graph more people might want to look at. And obviously that's not sustainable. I mean, if you adjust for all the housewives, elder seniors, so on in the population, we only have, you know, 180 million people working.
Exactly.
So you're talking about a Great Depression level of unemployment. And I think at some basic level, I mean, my comment just in a sentence, and again, this doesn't apply in practice and leadership beyond a local area, but this would be my personal statement. If we know the healthcare system's probably not going to be swamped, and if we know a vaccine's not coming for a year, there doesn't seem to be much reason not to practice social distancing and go back to work. If you have a very similar projection for illnesses and unfortunately deaths in the curve flattening model, flatten the curve to the extent you still need to, but return the country to normal. I've never seen anything like the response to COVID-19. I mean, we don't respond necessarily in this way to HIV, which is also contagious, or cancer, heart disease, any of these things that kill far more people than any coronavirus variant. So at some point, we're going to have to stop doing this, in my opinion.
What does this say in terms of the psychological preconditioning that we have gone through? I mean, we've been told for years that, you know, climate change was a disaster, and the kind of numbers that were thrust upon us with COVID-19 seem to be similar to what some of these, you know, climate scientists were, you know, thrusting upon us. And, you know, it's almost like we've been conditioned for this. Also, you know, what happens if we have a, you know, a strike on our power grid, you know, the kind of devastation that would take place to humanity here in our country. So we're all, you know, we're all being psychologically preconditioned for this, and we're almost setting ourselves up so that if we don't fortify ourselves, you know, practically and psychologically, what's going to happen the next time?
Yeah, I think that's a very important point. I don't like using phrases like test run, but we're very definitely going to see the same. We're basically going to see, it's like picking up teams for schoolyard basketball or baseball. We're going to see this same argument come back with global climate change in about 5 years.
Yes.
I mean, we're going to see camp apocalypse, and then we're going to see camp normal activity. The reality is going to be somewhere in between, but closer to camp normal activity, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that there is a conspiracy here, per se. I know a lot of people in the business community sort of do. But I do think that because of people independently pursuing their own personal and professional incentives, for the past 20 years, this is how you get published in academia, for example, for the past 20 years, we've seen a long series of kind of these doomsday projections. So just while we were talking, I sketched out a few of these. I mean, you mentioned some of these to me the last time I was on. But Paul Ehrlich's population bomb, we weren't going to develop an effective birth control. The world was going to be overpopulated by the 90s. Billions were going to die, if you remember that number one best-selling book. Peak oil, we weren't going to be able to drill for more oil. I forget the reason why. But we were going to run out of fossil fuels and have to go back to an eco-friendly lifestyle. That one was taught to me in grade school. Mm. The Club of Rome, the price of every resource was going to soar through the 80s, through the 90s. The heterosexual AIDS epidemic, the ozone hole, acid rain, killer bees, and the great northerly migration. We've seen another variation on that one just the past few days with these Japanese murder
Right.
Yeah, I mean, so the and again, there's no one person responsible, but literally the day we saw that the majority of people were no longer very worried about COVID-19, the media began to lead with foreign hornets have come here from the Orient, you know. My personal observation as both a quantitative scientist and just, you know, a guy who invests money and owns a gun and is not a complete idiot, is that most of these predictions do not come to pass. When I go outside, I see my neighbors walking their dogs. I don't see bodies in the street from COVID, although COVID is a real threat and a potential killer. But I certainly don't see five-inch-long bugs flying through the air or rain made out of acid or any of the things that we've been told to expect for a very long period of time. Right. So we do have a fear culture. Fear sells. Fear pushes TV programs. Fear is what they, quote-unquote, want people to feel.
Exactly. Well, you know, we've all been preconditioned, as you say. You know, for me, as a young man going through school, we were told all about reefer madness, you know. And, you know, so here we are, and all these years later, and there's still, you know, even still, there's you know, the anecdotal understanding of cannabis now versus some of the science is still conflicting. And I guess that will always be.
Yeah, I mean, a couple things. I mean, you know, first of all, I lean right. And I will say, if you're going to warn kids against something, you know, smoking weed every day and having lots of promiscuous sex, at least that can screw up your life.
Right.
I've seen that happen. I've never seen anyone killed by a six-inch hornet. But I do think every generation warns people against an exaggerated version of what they are scared of. I mean, some of the things white and black parents used to tell their kids about one another seem nonsensical when you read parenting books from, say, the 60s. You know, they're coming.
Yes.
But today, our fears seem to be the extremes of science and technology. You understand why, but they're often wrong.
Well, this information age in which we live in, Dr. Riley, it really behooves the consumer, you know, to read up on it and to be educated. But if you're going to be at the whim of 8-second sound bites, you're in for, you know, a fun ride here, I'd say.
Yeah. Kind of probably a final point here is just one thing I tell people is remember how big the country is.
Yes.
We're no longer a city-state of 50,000 people. We're not even the America of World War One, where you had 100 million people scattered over a land at least this big with, you know, radio, the modern means of communication. There are 360 million...
We're out of time, so to be continued
now
the next
mortgage
time.
Mortgage rates are at all-time lows. The question is, what are you waiting for? Say goodbye to those high mortgage payments and high interest rates on your credit cards. Well, my friends at Network Capital Funding can show you an immediate and smart way to save big money on those monthly bills. In fact, their clients have been saving an average of $528 a month and improving their FICO scores. Imagine what you could do with an extra $6,300 a year. So what are you waiting for? Call Network Capital Funding now, 800-700-8068. We're a direct lender, so there's no middleman and no wasted time. The process is uniquely fast, simple, and secure. These are the best rates ever. So now is the time to save. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding, 800-700-8068. That's 800-700-8068. Not licensed in all states. NMLS ID number 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Finance Lender Law number 603-D78. An equal housing lender subject to credit approval.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A deadly incident related to the coronavirus at a store in Flint, Michigan. Three people now facing first-degree murder charges for the killing of a store security guard. The suspects were all charged yesterday, but police had at last check still been looking for two of them. Prosecutors in Genesee County say the suspects reportedly felt disrespected because the security guard, a father of eight, was asking them to wear a face mask before they could enter the store. Miami Beach closing one of its parks after authorities gave verbal warnings to thousands of visitors over the weekend who failed to social distance. Park rangers at South Point Beach gave almost 7,500 warnings to people for not wearing face masks. Because of that high number, the city's decided to just close the park indefinitely. This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Spread the word, ladies and gentlemen. You know, some of this old school stuff still works, and it's all very practical. I'm reading, again, I'll tell you, his book from Congressman Dan Crenshaw on fortitude is excellent. Highly recommended. I think it's a bit, you know, in a sense, kind of academic. I know some people go, well, Navy SEAL loses his eye in combat. You know, we're going to hear these stories. Actually, you'd be surprised. A big part of the book is just practical stuff, like, you know, telling people to, you know, when you go to a store, you know, put your shopping cart away, you know, just some real practical kind of things that respect one another, respect the culture. And, you know, kind of raise the civility and the consciousness of our humanity. So I highly recommend it. And right now we've got Dr. Lauren Wright, who I always recommend. I always appreciate our time that we have together. She's the Associate Research Scholar and Lecturer in Politics and Public Affairs at Princeton University. Dr. Wright, always good to have you with us. How are you?
Hi, Bill. I'm great. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing terrific, all things considered. You know, we're starting to loosen things up here in Florida. Governor DeSantis, in my humble opinion, I think he's done a great job. I mean, in the midst of all the moving particles that you've got running here because of, you know, COVID-19, I mentioned earlier to another professor just a few moments ago that it would have been good, I think, for all these governors to find some, you know, some kind of unifying vision of what they were trying to accomplish. And I say that in conjunction with the president. Not that they should say, well, we're going to sell our souls and totally agree, because I know that some Democratic governors, particularly the governor in New Jersey, even Governor Cuomo, after some of the, you know, infighting that seemed to be going back and forth that the media loves to, you know, fan up, but they found reason and some issues, you know, to agree on. But I think that even Governor Whitmer and Newsom and some of these other governors that find themselves exposed, I think they would have been better served had they found a way to come together in unity. Kind of like, you know, I appreciated what George W. Bush, the former president, had to say yesterday. And, of course, you know, you get people who are contrarian even to George W. Bush. But I thought the message that he had to share with us, a message for unity and rallying, you know, the red, white, and blue, you know, together, I thought was very positive. But, you know, unfortunately, the environment we live in, whatever you think may be positive is negative to someone.
It is. And, you know, the tough part is governors certainly have power over what happens in their states, but there's a lot of things that, you know, are extended throughout the country. And one of them is something like a unified response to a health crisis that really does require presidential leadership. And a lot of that is communication. A lot of it is tamping down partisanship and working effectively with people that you don't agree with and sending a reassuring message to the public and giving states the tools they need to produce the supplies we need and to get the testing underway and to help, you know, with the legislative process in Congress and push things forward because governors alone can't do that. And I do think we've lacked that kind of leadership, and I'm very sorry for that. But I also think, you know, when people are outraged with President Trump, and I certainly understand a lot of those knee-jerk reactions to things that he says that are upsetting. I write about this in my book. I don't think that he's doing anything that we should not have expected. He does not have executive government leadership experience. And this is exactly the reason why that can be difficult. And you know, he has not done what he should have done, but he also doesn't have the tools to do it.
I'd recommend that he spend some time with Dan Crenshaw's book, because Dan speaks of it in terms of a mission and a military objective. And this is what we lose sight of when we get caught up in the noise. There's going to be noise. People are going to be, you know, to your point, you know, they're going to be upset. They're anxious about what's going on. But what is the message? I mean, if it gets, you know, I don't know, petty and political as it has, that's distracting from the objective. You know, that's just adding noise and complicating unnecessary what we need to do. And it takes, it really takes a unique person of character to not be offended, not to be emotional. Kind of, again, I use Dan Crenshaw as an example because, as you'll recall, remember when the comedian from Saturday Night Live, you know, just made, I thought, a rather disgusting, he thought he was being funny or cute or, to me, it was absolutely stupid what he had to say and disgusting. But, you know, to the congressman's credit, he didn't go, you know, jumping up and down about it. In fact, he was open to forgive him when, you know, he came back and said, yeah, you know, I kind of messed up. Probably, you know, it was a bad joke. And of course, then later on, he recanted on it. But regardless, I mean, you know, I think that Dan Crenshaw really exampled what we can do in these situations and being more, a little bit more stoic. And I guess that's maybe what the condition is calling for right now, is some stoicism, that we understand that people are going to, you know, lose their heads, as Rudyard Kipling wrote. And, you know, the idea is that we want our president to, you know, keep his head, at least while everybody else is losing theirs, right?
Yeah, it should be, you know, a minimum expectation that we can get from the president is some reassurance, clear messaging, and a unified strategy at times of crisis. But to your point about Dan Crenshaw, I loved when he went back on SNL. I mean, that was just a great moment. He happens to have a sense of humor. A lot of politicians don't. But you're right. There's absolutely room for conversations about these things. And one of the reasons why I think we do tend to key off of military experience when we get into the presidential selection process is because it's sort of this automatic litmus test for what are you willing to put on the line for the country? How do you feel about the country? Have you served? Those are relevant qualities. And similarly, when we look to governors traditionally for good presidential candidates, we want to see that people have dealt with bureaucracy within their own states and in a miniature version in some ways of what we have set up in the federal government. And if someone has not had that experience, it is much more difficult to succeed. It can happen, of course, but it is more difficult.
Yeah. Well, you're definitely rolling the dice because, you know, as I said before, and I think I even said it to you, you know, when you consider the president, the position of a president, it's like, you know, you don't go to Princeton. You know, Princeton doesn't have a class on how to be a president. You know, Harvard doesn't have a class. I mean, there's no class for this. You get, in some cases, a junior senator who becomes president of the United States. We get other people, like business people, who become, and, you know, each bring a specific trait and value in their toolbox that is beneficial, but, you know, it's rare that you would get the total package because there's just so much to deal with in this country. It's not just about dealing with a virus. I mean, you know, it's never ending, the kind of pressure that is put upon a leader. And if you don't have the basic rudimentary skill set, man, you know, everybody's in trouble, right?
Yes, or at least an appreciation for the job, an appreciation for the presidents that have come before you, and some humility. Character
yes.
does matter.
Well, I don't know how you, well, we've seen maybe a lack of representation of humility at times because that's just the way President Trump is. I would be shocked if he came out one day and all of a sudden he turned a page and, you know, all of a sudden we found a humbler, kinder man, you know, coming through the TV and, you know, not getting so excited about, you know, the Jim Acostas of the world. Because when you lose sight of the mission and the objective, then you get caught up in all these little wars that really mean nothing when people are saying, look, I'm out of work and I want to get back to work. We've got more from Dr. Lauren Wright. Stay with us.
Maybe you could relate to this. A lot of people think they're stuck with their health plan. It costs too much, or for whatever reason, they just don't like it. But great news, you are not stuck with it. There is a choice. It's called MediShare, and you could save so much. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Major difference maker. This is the affordable alternative to health insurance. And just to give you a little more info about MediShare, it's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. It's worked beautifully for 26 years, has more than 400,000 members, and they've shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills. So, yes, they can help share your needs, too. So you're not stuck. There's an excellent alternative. Whether you're single or married, you got a family, MediShare is super flexible. You can choose an option that works for you and start saving lots of money. You can join anytime. They're great to talk to. No pressure. Call 855-SHARE-40. That's 855-SHARE-40. 855-SHARE-40.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez live.
Hey, just the way you like us, fresh and independent every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. And we're talking with Dr. Lauren Wright, the Associate Research Scholar and Lecturer in Politics and Public Affairs at Princeton University. And by the way, she did mention her book, and while you have some downtime, I mean, this is a great book to read. Lauren, you might tell the people how they can get their hands on it.
Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any online bookseller you like to use. It's called Star Power, and it's about celebrities that run for office and why they're very well-suited to win elections and poorly suited to govern effectively.
Exactly. Well, this is why I think Tom Peters wrote a book, In Search of Excellence, and one of the key lines he used in that book was, stick to your knitting. And this is what happens sometimes, is people find themselves, when they're good at one thing, they kind of Peter Principle themselves up and out. And this happens in politics time and again. And, I mean, we have to deal with it in a general sense. Sometimes when people are on stage and you appreciate them singing, and then all of a sudden they speak politics and you go, oh my gosh, you really don't know what you're talking about. Talking about, can we have another song, please? Do you take requests other than your political diatribe, right? Just for fun. I want to talk about Joe Biden. This latest crisis is inescapable. I don't know how he gets out of this. I mean, he's poorly handled it, really, at this point. I mean, he needs a crisis manager because Tara Reid has come out. I mean, you compare Tara Reid's story, and of course everybody's comparing it with Kavanaugh. You knew that was going to happen. So this is like the missile that the Democrats set off in the Kavanaugh hearing is now redirected and coming back to the Democratic Party.
Well, what I would encourage people is not so much to compare, Tara Reid to Christine Blasey Ford or who's more credible, and those, the sides of their stories and the contemporaneous accounts, those should be hashed out by the media. And so I think the relevant comparison is the media coverage and the criticism, because you cannot, you know, apply a different standard to people in the Democratic Party, to people in the Republican Party. If we're going to apply a standard of investigating credible claims, then absolutely this needs to be investigated.
Right.
And I've been really disappointed in the partisanship that a lot of people have brought to this. I mean, it's obviously a problem, and it is a test of Biden's rapid response team, or lack of one, because he is in an environment right now where there's actually less press coverage, and he doesn't have to be out in front of microphones every day. And I think the speed with which he responded has not been impressive. A lot of people would have liked to see something else, and I do think it's a relevant question, and I'm glad that that we're finally asking it.
Mm-hmm. And again, you know, the media can do so much, but the problem I had, even with Blasey Ford, is that you, in thinking, what is the end game here? What are we trying to do? With Kavanaugh, we want to vet him. We want to make sure that, you know, we've run qualifications on him, or do we want to turn this into some sort of, you know, political, you know, gaslight hit? And are we doing this with Joe Biden? Or is there really, I mean, because if we're getting in again to the emotional side of this without any end game in sight, I mean, what is the purpose? What is the exercise here? Because what it really bothered me after everything was said and done with Kavanaugh was Blasey Ford and her attorneys came in. Later on, we find out there was some different motivation than what was expressed early on. And, you know, we start realizing the true story and you feel like, man, you know, we got worked here a little bit. And in that process of the people getting worked, it promotes skepticism to the point that when you have situations where someone is violated and they deserve justice, then that should be sacred. It should be sacred to the point where a woman or a man can enter into this arena, this sacred arena that has been so protected, that it's honored to where you do find justice and mercy in this space. But I believe that space has been, you know, kind of, I don't know, infected or infestated in to such a degree that, you know, it leaves us all with a bunch of questions. I mean, to the point that you have, at one point you got to believe her. You know, she's credible. You have to believe her. And now, you have today, well, she's not, you know, you can't believe her, and I believe Joe. I mean, this is, I think this is tough on our psyche.
It is, and that's why I think it's important to remind people that this is not what happens in most presidential elections. Most politicians don't have sexual assault and misconduct allegations against them, and that doesn't mean that every single one is credible. But it does mean that we should apply equal standards to politicians of both parties, and that, yes, you know, being a Supreme Court justice is a huge deal, and you do need to be vetted, and character matters, and your judgment matters, and your background matters, and same thing with the President of the United States. But it is difficult, and we just have to try to approach it with a sober mind. Because if we apply the lens of the party that we're loyal to, we're in big trouble. We'll
Without
never
a
get
doubt.
Anywhere.
Everybody's in big trouble. I mean, Blasey Ford's in big trouble. You know, Tara Reid's in big trouble. I just wrote a commentary over the weekend about, interesting when you consider, you know, these Democratic women, whether it's Marilyn Monroe, Mary Jo Kopechne, Levy, Chandra Levy, Catherine Willey. I mean, you just go down the list, and they're all Democratic women abused by Democratic leaders. And this is a tough deal. And then the media has picked and made their decision as to how they're going to cover things, how they're going to ignore things, including, you know, Ted Kennedy, as I mentioned, going back to Mary Jo Kopechne. And here, you know, Mary Jo Kopechne is gone, and Ted Kennedy becomes the lion of the Senate. And it's like, wow, do we have something upside down here or what?
Well, you know, I would disagree with you on the Democratic heavy side. This certainly happens in the Republican Party all the time, and that's because it's not partisan in nature. It's people.
Okay, so what you do is I want you to write a contravening commentary. I agree with, I don't disagree with what you're saying. I just happen to, you know, pick in this particular case because we had Biden as a Democrat, and we've got this example of women. But yes, I mean, it's not reserved just for Democrats because it's reserved for humanity. We're all humanoids, and we're all guilty of this. I'm not claiming by no means this only happens on one side and not the other, because we're all guilty of it.
Right, and I also think we need to be careful about saying women just do this for media attention, because I don't know one person who would want to be scrutinized the way these women have.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm not suggesting that they would do it for media attention. That you can decide for yourself, maybe in certain cases. But yes, exactly, the way they're scrutinized, all of a sudden you're throwing this thing out into the court of public opinion. Whereas I think this is something, again, to honor the sacredness. I see this as a sacred, you know, chamber where this, you know, because you're talking about, you know, very private, very personal character things here, and to lay it out and let the media chow on it like a dog on a bone, man, what they did to, you know, Blasey Ford, what they did to Anita Hill, I mean, on and on, and this is the media just having a free-for-all. And this is the dangerous part, is when you throw it out into the court of public opinion and you abandon the core tenets of being innocent until proven guilty, not the other way around, which I believe this is where the Democrats are getting bit in the back end, is that they kind of approached it from a you're guilty until you prove innocent, which, as you know, Dr. Wright, that's not plausible. That's impossible to do. And that's why the court of law doesn't operate that way.
It's a really tough situation, you're right. And so what we end up getting when the media doesn't do their job adequately is we get partisan responses. You know, there are great investigative reporters, though, and in some cases we do start from a critical standpoint, and we start from not believing, and then we work our way to believing. But you're right, what we end up with is information about how a politician deals with something like this in the public eye instead of the truth or what kind of person they are. And that's not always helpful. And you're also right that the Me Too movement, which is associated with the Democratic Party primarily, has a big problem because they have to decide whether it's a partisan movement or it's not. And if it's a Democratic movement, then they should say that, and if it's not, they should apply the same standard to Joe Biden, and it's very, very difficult.
Yeah, I just got a text from one of our listeners, San Clemente Bob, who's going to be Tennessee Bob here pretty soon. He says it's not that incidents don't happen on all sides, it's how the very obvious bias treats those issues, and I think that that's some of that bias, to your point, is facilitated by the mainstream media.
And we need to do a better job of it, but I would say it happens in conservative media and it happens in liberal media, and there needs to be less of that on all sides.
You see, I want to protect both sides, you know, the victim and the accused. And I think we're losing a little bit of this in this information age where the media is allowed to kind of come in and just, you know, throw caution to the wind, and next thing you know, we're just laying, you know, opinion, a lot of opinion out there without the facts, and I think that's very dangerous and it misserves us. Dr. Lauren Wright, she is the Associate Research Scholar and Lecturer in Politics and Public Affairs at Princeton University. I hope you're taking notes, okay? Dr. Wright, thank you as always. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Bill.
Oh, so you're wearing a mask every day now? Where are you getting them?
The same website where I get my neck and body wraps, sunnybay.com. And they're handmade.
Really?
Just like their wraps in the USA.
Oh, and good quality?
Oh, very good. These are disposable face masks.
And good price?
That's the best part. I get a 10-pack for only $6.
Wow.
Yes, as a public service, we're now sourcing disposable face masks with level 1 protection at sunnybay.com. Get a 10-pack of high-quality, more breathable face masks, only $6. Our face masks are hypoallergenic, latex-free, and made for stress-free.
free all-day wearing. Or choose our N95 respirator masks, 2-pack for only $6. Supplies are limited, so place your order at sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company right here in the USA. Go to sunny-bay.com and purchase your disposable face masks online. 10 masks for only $6. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Frustrated trying to...